We are already into the first new paragraph, beginning at verse 7, and we already dealt with the fear of the Lord last time, and I gave you 30-some verses that contained that term, fear of the Lord, and contrasted it with what Paul tells us, that we have not been given the spirit of fear. The idea of being a godly, God-fearing nation is something that a lot of people pretend is going on. One fellow that I really admire his knowledge and his research, a guy named David Barton, he heads up an outfit called Wall Builders, and I appreciate his being an apologist, but he goes way too far, making all the founders tantamount to the appearance of Paul and Barnabas. And they weren't exactly that. Modern society has gone too far the other way, and they see no value in the founders. If they read a few books, they might find out that there was a two-edged sword, and many of the founders were, yes, slaveholders and pillagers of the land, and many of the other founders were fighting those guys tooth and nail over those exact same issues. So at the same time, a constitution was drawn up that in 1789 put forth principles and precepts largely oriented from a Bible standpoint. They were put into our Constitution and the Bill of Rights not by preachers, but by politicians. That's why it's still a mess, 200 some odd years later. What you can say with a high degree of accuracy and objectivity is when you look at the map of the world and point at the nations that have a Bible association, those will be the furthest advanced and the most civil nations on the globe. A Bible orientation makes a tremendous difference. There are 44 countries with a state religion. We're not one of them. Of the 44, 23 of the 44 countries with a state religion are Muslim. And that's a war that has now moved. It's no longer in Syria and Iraq. Now you'll find it in Niger, Nigeria, Chad, across the equatorial belt of Africa. And that's going to heat up. You just watch and you'll say next year, oh, that's what he was talking about when you see it in the headlines. Right. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. It's hard to know who's a fool and who isn't sometimes because there's so much ignorance of the Bible out there. I received an email 5 days ago from a gentleman who was quoting 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that all scripture is profitable and given by God for doctrine and so on and so forth. He said, the question he asked was, I thought we only went by Paul's doctrine, not all scripture's doctrine. And I just scratched my head, where's this coming from? He is having somebody tell him we need to go by the whole Bible. And so he asked that question. Don't you know God creating the earth is a doctrine and it's profitable, but it's not my doctrine and I'm late to the party by about 6,000 years. So I answered him and hopefully he got it. So what's the next email he sends me? Who wrote Hebrews? I use the same verse. All scripture is inspired of God. We seem to be stuck. And, of course, the important thing that we sort out, of course, we don't believe Paul wrote it, and I suggest that John did, but the point being, it's God's words.
Yeah.
So we have a hard time sometime sorting out the fools because they start in such a bad place anymore. And the questions they ask are so immature and without understanding that I know from having been at this for nearly 40 years that such folks are probably 3 to 5 years away from really being able to get a handle on mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right division. They're still going to go to the funeral and think that Psalm 23 is the best thing they ever heard. We have always had in our society elements of atheism and hedonism. I think we now are outnumbered by the atheists and the hedonists. When John Dewey provided the means and pop culture provided the slippery slope and paternalism in the press and politics provided the validation, you had then the advent of an atheistic and hedonistic society here in these contiguous 48 states. I wonder sometimes, as I reread Thomas Jefferson, if a well-placed revolution, as he suggested, ought to happen every generation or so, might be a good thing. And if we could have all the sanctuary cities and all the sanctuary now states form their own country,
yes,
and secede from the United States of America and go their own way,
yeah,
and let Governor Bloomberg, Mayor, whatever his name is, I can't remember it, and Governor Moonbeam out there in California, let them have their own little playground.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they go away, no, that's not who I meant, but then when they fall apart, we'll be there to send them some food stamps or something that they're used to. We've come to a tipping point, I think. It's not a good situation. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, my son, he is giving then a direct reference, and that from the father to the son. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. The direct reference for father and mother would be to his wife and Solomon. Our apostle wrote in Colossians chapter 3 in verses 19 and 20, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. It's important to remember that after the creation, God put together Adam and Eve, husband and wife. That was then the beginning of the family, which is the foundation of society.
Yeah.
We no longer believe that. Now, we think that anything goes. We have now half the alphabet being used by the LGBT crowd to justify their aberrant behavior and to ask for sympathy from the rest of us. I don't have any reason to think that the United States Army should be paying people for transsexual operations and that people are going to sign. If they can get a free one, why not join the Army? What you fund, you get more of.
Yes.
And what you don't throw money at goes away. Then we are a distance from the nuclear family. We have ensconced within American culture segments of the population that would have a hard time putting grandma, grandpa, father, mother, and kid in the same family picture. They have to go to 6 different states to do it. And that's not a healthy foundation for a societal network. It's interesting, 2 of the founders of Facebook have recently been quoted as saying, what we've done is irreparable harm to American society. And they now have admitted that Facebook planned a feedback loop of self-justification that would cause people to become so enamored with Facebook, they would love Facebook more than people. And the founders knew that they were doing that and went ahead and did it. And one of them said, "We have no idea what this will do to the next generation of children." Well, I've got a halfway decent idea, and I think we're beginning to see it play out.
Yes.
At this point in Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon provides a lesson. He says, "My son, hear the instruction." Well, in verses 10 to 19, he gives the instruction.
Yes.
And it's pretty plain. He says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Peer group pressure is never to go to prayer meeting. Peer group pressure is always to do something that's wrong. And when the kid comes home and says, "Well, I did a bad thing," he blames it on the peer group. He blames it, "Billy did it, so I had to, too." That's when mommy says, "Well, if he jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge?" The answer, of course, is yes. Now, Solomon goes on, "Consent thou not, if they say, 'Come with us, let us lay wait for blood.' These are murderers. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause." So we've got now, in Proverbs chapter 1, in verses 10 and 11, what was epidemic 2.5 years ago. Do you remember? People would be walking down the street, and three teenagers would run up and knock them down and hit them and kick them and then run off. No reason. They just did it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it stopped or if they just stopped talking about it, so they're not encouraging it by putting it on TV. But they're doing it for no reason. Do you remember when Johnny Cash sang Folsom Prison Blues? "I shot a man in Reno just to see him die." We have something in our society that's very ill when that becomes a best-selling song.
Yeah.
Now, what's really sad is when you listen to the album on which Johnny Cash sings Folsom Prison Blues, where he is at Folsom Prison singing it, when he says he shot a man in Reno just to see him die, you hear the shouts and hooray and whoopees from his prisoner audience.
Yes.
That's a mentality you really don't want to encourage. And he says he's the man in black doing it for the poor and underprivileged. Really? I don't see any signs of that. I see you using them. I see you taking advantage of them so that you can sell more records to them. And encouraging, "I shot him just to see him die." That's in Proverbs. Wow. How prescient is that?
Yeah.
If you don't know the word prescient, look it up. You'll be glad. How prescient is that? "Come with us, let us wait for blood. Let us look privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance, and we shall fill our houses with spoil." So we'll kill them for no reason, and then we'll take their cell phones. I recall as I was on one of my visits, I forget where I was going, but I had the Salem Avenue Christian Bookstore. I'd come down Salem Avenue to the Miracle Lane, and I don't know what I was buying or what I did that for. And the guy said to me, "You be careful." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "There was a kid killed here yesterday just for his sneakers."
Hmm.
What? For what? Human depravity. No wonder Calvin could sell his program, because it's not a hard sell when you talk about how wicked people can be. "So we find all the precious substance, we'll fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Come, join us, and we'll all have one purse. So we'll split the loot when we get to the hideout." And that's what you're reading here in Proverbs. So don't pick up tomorrow's newspaper and think this is new.
No.
All that has become new is we're better able to take pictures of it. We can get to it faster in our vehicles. But the wickedness hasn't changed.
No.
All precious substance will fill our houses, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. You know where their path goes? It goes to the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yes.
And doesn't everybody know where the wrong place is? And doesn't everybody know nothing good happens after midnight? This is not rocket surgery. Well, I love Solomon laying it out. And walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. Where do they hang out? Well, don't put your foot in that path. If you shut down all the highfalutin strip bars that all the pro ball players go to, they'd open new ones.
Yep.
It's who they are.
Yep.
It's what they do. I kid Carol, it's not so funny that every time you hear about one of those fellas, they get picked up at 2:30 in the morning. And I say to Carol, well, that must be when prayer meeting lets out.
Right.
2:30 in the morning. Walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives.
Right.
Why would you throw a net for your own feet and put yourself in the middle of a mess? If you've got any modicum of self-preservation instincts that God put in you, you know better than to get into these kinds of troubles and stay away from them. And they wait for their own blood. They look privily for their own lives. So that the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away life of the owners thereof. Killing people to get the goods. There's a lot of common sense in that passage, which, of course, common sense isn't common anymore.
No.
And if you talk about how our society has done itself egregious harm as the family becomes destroyed, as aberrant behavior becomes something celebrated, and as this kind of depravity walks among us. How many people are going to be killed in Chicago this year? We're going to hit 1,000? It's going to be a big number.
Yeah.
And as we operate in such a society, they would be first to tell us that we are people who, what did President Obama say? Love their Bibles and their guns. Yeah. We need to protect ourselves, and we need God's Word.
Amen.
Common sense to those folks is irrational. When Mrs. Clinton, Secretary Clinton, identified the deplorables, and she ticked off 5 items, and I'm thinking, well, she got me there, 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 and there.
Yeah.
I'm 5 times a deplorable. Then when you see all this hatred from one political group to the other political group, when you see them breaking windows, and if it were my turn, they'd do it to me. Because everything I stand for is everything they hate. I wouldn't want to hate anybody, but when I tell them they're wrong, that's going to be their response.
Yes.
You're a hater.
Yeah.
No. I think your lifestyle is self-destructive, and you're destroying yourself, your community, and our country.
Yes.
Oh, you're a hater. We've really squared off. And I've been predicting blood in the streets for a year now, and I think, actually, we keep moving closer.
Yeah.
We'll have 4 months, no problems. You know why?
Cold.
It's cold out. Wait till spring, honey. The passage that Solomon gives us in verses 10 to 19 reminds me of Paul in Romans chapter 1, who, knowing the judgments of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but when Johnny Cash says, "I shot a man in Reno just to see him die," they cheer and scream and give catcalls and, "Yeah, me too." Wicked. People say what goes around comes around. They talk about karma. They talk about chickens coming home to roost. Men sow wild oats and pray for crop failure. That kind of mentality that they can get away with it. There's something called existentialism. There's something called Gestalt philosophy that makes you the center of the world and the center of everything. I hear a lot of that. I hear people talking about, well, I deserve this and I deserve that. I know what you deserve. You deserve to rot in hell for eternity.
Amen.
And without the grace of God and the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's exactly what's going to happen to you.
Yes.
Well, we've got a whole generation now. I read recently that 76% of the snowflakes feel threatened when somebody calls them a snowflake. Good night, Nelly. If that's a threat, you live in a very cushy environment.
Yes.
I've had people promise to kill me.
Yes.
And not one of them called me a snowflake.
No.
Had they called me a snowflake, I'd have been good with that.
Yes.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33 is a wonderful passage. Be not deceived. You hang out with the wrong kinds of folks, and you're going to get just like them. Well, that's not how Paul said it. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And that sounds a lot like Solomon. We know from Romans chapter 1 and verse 27, the warning is present of people leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error. Uh-oh. Recompense of error. That is when things catch up.
Yes.
That is the chickens coming home to roost. Note in Solomon's 9 verses the progression presented. First, separate yourself from the wicked.
Yes.
Second, don't cooperate with them. And third, don't involve yourself in anything they're doing.
Amen.
A doctrine of separation is a good thing here. If you wanted to get in trouble this evening, you could probably find the most likely place to do so. If you wanted to get falling down drunk and to fornicate and cuss up a storm and drop F bombs while you're rapping, where would you go in downtown Dayton? There's a whole district for it. Oregon District? What about Mardi Gras, where the city of New Orleans has legalized public nudity for that week?
Yeah.
Why do you legalize it? Because there's so much of it, you can't control it.
Right.
There's going to be a bill in Ohio to legalize recreational pot. Hmm. I would flip that coin over, and I would criminalize alcohol.
Amen.
Oh, my. Well, I'm a hater. It's legal. It must be all right. Honestly, you want to take that position? It's legal. It must be all right. Then, I guess, for 1609 to 1863, slavery was all right because it was legal.
No, sir.
Huh?
Nope.
That mentality coming from people who have benefited from getting it right is Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies. Well, Solomon's warning comes with specificity. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 11, if they say, "Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause." And in verse 19, "So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." These are murderous people in a murderous gang.
Yes.
Proverbs was written long before Hell's Angels was constituted.
Yes.
Long before the Bloods and the Crips. this, long before MS-13, the principle of human wickedness, human tribalism, human pillaging is not new.
No.
It needs dealt with. I don't know of any legal system that has been successful in shutting it down. This is 2017. Solomon wrote this a long time ago. And all these problems persist. What might solve the problem? What might change things? How about people getting saved?
Yes.
And walking in newness of life?
Amen.
There's a program that has a chance. When the warden at Lebanon Correctional was talking to Don, the other teacher, and myself, he said, "You guys must be doing something right, because the guys that come to your class, they don't come back. Maybe some of them got saved." I'd like to think that that's the case. These people are murderous thieves in Proverbs chapter 1, as Solomon lays it out in verses 10 to 19. In verse 12, "Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down to the pit. We shall find all precious substance, and shall fill our houses with spoil." Just last week, an 84-year-old man was shot, and they stole his television set. You could have stole the TV. If that's what you're going to do, you didn't need to shoot the guy.
No.
One young fellow, I'll never forget, at Lebanon Correctional, he looked like Frankie Lyman in The Teenagers. He was a cute little guy, stood about 5'6", and had a big smile and a very outgoing personality. He said, "Well, I had to shoot him." He'd murdered two people because the little old lady wouldn't give up her purse. So I had to shoot him. Wow. And we think this is a progressive civilization and we are on the cutting edge of getting it all right? Why? Ernest Hemingway had it right when he wrote his book Across the River and Into the Trees. We're devolving rather than evolving.
That's it.
Well, these people are enticing. And when they entice, consent thou not.
Amen.
Last time, I mentioned Korah, and Korah comes to mind again. He's back there in the phone book, the Book of Numbers. That's the phone book, right? Book of Numbers. And in verse chapter 16, verse 30, "But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up, with all that appeareth unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." And it came to pass, as he made an end of speaking all these things, that guess what? The ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up in their houses, and all the men that appertained to Korah and all their goods. They, all and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed them up, and they perished from among the congregation. There, you see, God giving an illustration and demonstrating how he feels about the people in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 to 19.
Yeah.
In Micah chapter 7 and verse 2, "The good man is perished out of the earth, and there's none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net." One thing that is very disquieting, I'm going to say it, even though it is disquieting, we in the United States of America have representative government. And all these liars and all these crooks and all these gold-plated jerks and all these fornicators, that's what our society has become. You wouldn't dare run for a major office as a Bible-believing, sold-out Christian. You wouldn't stand a chance. Our society is so now coarse. When it was the guy that everybody loves to love, old Uncle Joe, Uncle Joe Biden, didn't know the mic was open. Maybe he did. But he whispered an F-bomb that the mic picked up. And that kind of language, not possible when you were children.
No.
Now, that's what all... Apparently, dirty words are hilarious. I've never thought words were funny. But some of these comedians, when they say one of those nasty words, everybody cracks out laughing like, oh, that's funny. You know what that is? That is people who believe they are repressed, wanting to break down every barrier, not concerned about the consequences of breaking down those barriers.
That's it.
Those barriers were there for a reason, and the landmarks are being destroyed. We should recall, as we go through, similarly as we did with Zechariah, that we are given the purposes of the book of Proverbs at the outset. And there were those 9 items that Solomon declared as his purposes for writing. That, then, is his orientation. He makes it personal to his son. And we're not talking about here a little shoplifting at the Piggly Wiggly. We're talking about killing people, pillaging homes, destroying things. When he says, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 14, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. Isn't that interesting? Because everybody having one purse, casting our lots all together, isn't that socialism and communism? Oh, isn't that also the theology of the tribulation and going into the kingdom? Did not Peter say that we, the believed, were together, Acts 2:44, and had all things common? So why is it a good thing in Acts 2:44 and a bad thing in Proverbs 1:14? It was voluntary by the Holy Ghost led people at Pentecost, but it is criminal as it's being portrayed in Proverbs. This is not a book of slogans. The context always matters. In our dispensation, our instructions are markedly different. We know that rather than doing as Peter instructed in Acts 2:44, and certainly not doing as the murderous people in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 to 19, we know that we are to be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and we are to keep our own business. We are to provide for our own families. And if a person doesn't work, that person shouldn't eat. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread.
Amen.
Quietness, working. Well, if there is a World War III, I hope it's fought with thumbs, because that's the only thing our society's got going these days, is thumbs to text message. Solomon's verse is in reference to murderous thieves, and he is warning his son to have no company with them. Interesting that 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33 has to do with the choosing up of sides. And if you hang out with evil communications, your manners will be corrupted. It was George Orwell who famously wrote Animal Farm in 1984, who said that we are willing to forgive almost any transgression when it is done by people who agree with us.
Yes.
That's a fascinating statement.
Yes.
And you're seeing it play out right in front of you these days. We are willing to forgive almost any transgression as long as it is our team, our people, our side that did it. I wonder how it is that so much wrong doctrine can be out there in the grace movement and it's still wrong, even when it comes from your friends.
That's right.
But George Orwell was right, and they're willing to forgive most any transgression as long as it's in their camp. Well, get out of the camp and walk in the light of the word truth. Get your Bible right. We know from Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 16, their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. That verse is not in the text that is used by modern translations. I point this out to you, and this, we're done dealing with Proverbs. We're now talking about textual criticism issues. I point this out to you because the NIV, the New American Standard, the Living, the Good News, they all have Proverbs 1:16 in it. But the text that they use to translate doesn't. They had to hop over the fence and go to the King James text to get it.